As my distant mentor often says, we cannot afford to have thoughts in our mind that are not from the Lord. We cannot afford it. We cannot afford it. And those the things that Flavio said are how he sees us and how he thinks about us. We cannot afford to have other thoughts. Just, it's a dead end track. Alrighty, can I have a slide up? Who knows what that is? Who knows what that is? Do I hear, what do I hear, lightning? Traffic?
Yeah.
Traffic? Out of a plane looking down on a city? Close? It's a river? Very good. Very good. Is the next up the green one there? Oh, Tony? The Thames? No. Who knows what that is? The Nile River. Isn't that amazing? Can we go back to the other one? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's just a nighttime shot from the space shuttle. It sort of zoomed up a little bit. I wasn't sure how well, but it's come out all right. And so go back to the new one. That's the Nile River. That's way up. Way up. Look at this. Look at the greenery around it. Where the river flows, there's life. Where the river flows, there's life. It's a nighttime shot. You know, the one before is a nighttime shot. Why? Because everyone's built their houses by the river. In fact, the most expensive real estate here in this country is probably by the Thames. Thumping great houses there. You know, if you drive, you can see mansions by the Thames. Where the river runs, there's life. So I want us to have a look at Ezekiel 47. Oh, there it is already. My gosh. I don't have this one in Italian this morning. The next ones I do. Let's read this together. Then he brought me, background. This is the prophet Ezekiel, and he is prophesying to what he's seeing in the future. He's prophesying to the children of God, to the Israelites, while they're in captivity. I think still while they were in captivity, just before they were taken back to their promised land. And he sees this picture. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The morning sun comes up in the east, looking forward to a new day, to a new time, a new dawn, the coming of Jesus. As the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the sun. Anyway, the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple. I'm sorry, I don't know all the symbolism of south end, north end, east end, whatever, but what I know, I'll tell you. What I don't, I just ignore it because I don't know. Then he brought me out where the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000. Now, a cubit, I think, is around about 20 centimeters, roughly, I think, off the top of my head. But anyway, it's 1,000 of them. And led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water. Oh, that's missing from there. And it was waist deep. Is that what it says? I'll get my scripture back too, so I've got it in front of me there. And it was waist deep. Next one. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on one side and on the other. See that? The greenery of the Nile River. In the midst of a desert where the river flowed, there were trees. It was green. By the side of the river. And he said to me, the water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. He's using, obviously, the picture of Israel where they were, not the Nile River, and enters the sea. The Arabah, I think, is the Dead Sea. Where the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from whatever to that place. It will be a place for spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and leaves for healing. So there's lots of imagery in that picture. This is a prophetic statement of the age we're in. So I'm picking up my last sermon and having another crack at it from a different angle. All right, so it's sort of the same message but retold in a different picture. Because this is who we are. This is a picture of life in the kingdom. This is a picture of life as God made it to be. What's the next slide? I'm going to come back to this. What's the next one? There we go. Oh, why is it doing down the bottom? Can it go up any? Oh, it's the... Oh, all right. So here, Pina, see, you read that? Dario, can you see this? Can you read this? He's not sure. Anyway, Revelation 22:1-2. Then the angel showed me the river on the water. Now listen to this. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit. Oh, what happened there? Yeah. Yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. See the similarities? The same picture. It's the same picture. This is the book of Revelation at the end of all things. All right. Can we now go to the next one? John 17:37-39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." All right, cool. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Not hard to see the connection, is it? Not hard to see the connection. Out of their hearts will flow. There are two things here that Jesus is saying. Anyone who is thirsty, if you want the river of life, if you want the life that God has to give, just come to him and drink. Simple. Come to Jesus and drink of that river. Come and drink. That's all you have to do. That's the invitation. And if you believe in him, that river will flow through you like a river. That river of life will flow through you like a river. Whom those believe, rivers of living will flow from within them. In some versions it says, out of your belly will flow rivers. That looks funny, doesn't it? A river flowing through us. This is what we're called to. The river is the life of God. It is the life of God himself. It flows from the temple. We go back to that one. Then you go back to Ezekiel. Just want to quickly pick up some things there. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. Behold, the issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east. The water was flowing down below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. So from the altar of God, from where God dwells, in a church or in a building, in the temple, the altar, the holy place, was where God dwelt. That's where he lived. That's where they saw his presence. Out of that place flowed a river, and that river was life. It's the river of life. Jesus said, remember John 10:10, I have come to give you life, and life in all its fullness. It's the life that is the true life, the real life, the life that goes for all eternity. It's the life of power. It's the life of love. It's the life that gives life. If that makes sense. He is that life. The Spirit of God is that life. God is that life. It comes from the altar flowing down. flowing down. He who believes in me, come and drink. What do we drink? We drink from this river that flows. It's a river. When Jesus rose again from the dead, when he rose and defeated death, defeated the power of sin over the life, and remember he was in that, the tomb was put open, the tombstone was rolled aside, and he broke forth out of death into never to die again. Never to die again. People who got resurrected, we hear of resurrections. The sad thing is they're going to die again. Jesus will never die again. And when he did that, he broke open the heavens so that there is now a river, that this river flows constantly, unending, never ending, because the river is God himself. It says this, we know the love of God by the Spirit of God is poured into our heart. The love of God is poured into our hearts through the Spirit of God who is given to us. Or I haven't quite quoted that right, John, Romans 5:11. The Spirit of God, the life of God, flowing in us for all who drink. We can come and drink. Just drink. So we can just come. Want a drink? Yeah, love a drink. Here, have a drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 55 or 56 says, he who hears my voice and comes and drink, come and drink freely. Come and drink freely. So here the first thing we're called as people is to just drink from the river. Drink from his presence. You see, the thing is, this life is not our life. We never chose to be born in the first place. So the life that we have was never our choice in the first place. But we got it. The river that comes to us from God is not a life we can generate within ourselves. Eternal life, we can't work it up. So quit trying. We can't. We cannot work up eternal life. We cannot work up the life of God. It can only flow into us. Now, there are other issues around that, but it comes to us and it's his life that comes freely, and all we do is drink. And we drink it. And we drink it. We get up every day and we drink some more. And we drink some more and we drink some more. See, it's not about us, it's about him. When we get ourselves in the way and think, oh no, I've got to, you know, pray a bit longer, I've got to do all these things and da-da-da-da, we're getting in the way. We're getting in the way. Anyway, we'll get to that. Right, let's go on with that Ezekiel one. Now he talks about the middle. He gets out to the point where the river is too deep for him to get in. He has to, you know, I've got to swim in it. It's just too deep. Can't even get across. It is so deep. Because that, to me, it's a picture of this is, again, is the Christian life. We have a choice. We always have a choice. Some of us like to just come up to the river and get our ankles wet. Splish, 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 splish. I'm happy. Happy little Christian, got my ankles wet. Got enough salvation just to get my feet wet, but not enough salvation to do anything with it. But, you know, I like splashing in the water. That's pretty boring after a while in terms of Christian life. There's no real life in it. There's nothing in it. The invitation is come deeper. Come on. Come here. Come here, Ian. Come deeper. This is where it is. It's way out here. Where it's over your head. It's over your head. Paul talks about the grace of God being unfathomable. I love that. Unfathomable. That talks about depth. You know what, who knows what a fathom is? You all know it's the depth of water. Out in the ocean, the depth of water is measured in fathoms. The grace of God, Paul says, is unfathomable. You cannot measure it. And I see it like an ocean. If you imagine you're on a boat, and you think this is the ocean, and you go jumping into it, and it's just you're surrounded, you sink underneath, and you're surrounded. There's no land anywhere. There's no bottom to it. It's just all grace. It's all the river of God all around us, in us. See, Jesus said, "He who abides in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do anything. Can't do anything. Well, you can, but it won't be of any use for eternity. It will be an empty life, and the end of that way is death. But living in the river is life." There was a guy at I've just been away on the cruise. Tim, anyone know Tim and Linda Crew? I've spoken to a couple of people. They're from Bourne End, and they invited Sabina and I to go on their launch. It was supposed to be at the end of August, but he got delayed, and so it got put to this weekend. and I wasn't going to say no. So we went away on this thing, and we got into one of the locks, and there was one of the guys there who was just an on fire Christian, and he said, he said, "Are you a Christian?" So I said, yeah. And he said, "Is you?" I said, "Yes." And I said, I went like this, I'm in over my head, and he was struggling to get over my head because he was seeing Christ in him, but he wasn't seeing me in that. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But I'm in over my head. So this is where God wants us to be, in over our heads. Well, let's have a look. Wherever the river goes, every creature in swarms will live. Can we go down to verse 11? So the invitation to come deeper into the river, in over our head, because that's where the life, that's where the love is, that's where the power, that's where the glory is. But swamps and marshes will not become fresh, they will be left for salt. A swamp is a place where the water has gone in, but it's not escaping. It's not going out, the river cannot flow through it. And so a swamp then becomes marshy, becomes salty, and unless there's some movement in it, it becomes sterile and dead. And so unless we are actually letting the river flow through us, life, we lose the life that's in the river. Just important to remember that. That's why Jesus said, if you believe in me, out of your heart will flow, out of your life will flow over. This is our call. This is our call as Christians, to be the vessels through which the river of God flows. Through which the river of God flows. That's our call. Can we go on to the next one? Let's have a look at these. Now, these are fascinating. No, one after that. Right. Here are two interesting scriptures. Two interesting scriptures that sound very similar. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law. And when you see the word law, because obviously, I can't get my finger. When you see the word law, think revelation. When we see law, we think of road rules. It says go right, go left, do this, don't do that, da 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 da. They are important. That's in the scriptures. But the law is bigger than that. The law is essentially, when we're thinking of it in a New Testament context, is the revelation of God to us. Reveals God to us. It reveals what he requires. It reveals what his heart for us. It also tells us something about how he sees us, the good and the bad. The law is revelation. It is more than just do's and don'ts. So when you see that, his delight is in the revelation of the Lord. That's how I read that. So think that, revelation of the Lord. And he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree. Look at this. Like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. Doesn't that sound like the river of life? I wonder what the connection is here. It's the same thing. It's the same. It's a promise working out that this is the river of life, how it works. Next one. Pina, can you see that? Yep. Blessed is the man, Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it? Year of drought, doesn't matter. It sends its roots by the stream. It's the same picture, exactly the same picture. So how do we live in the river? We drink it, we receive it by grace, by faith, believing. But we have to continue to stay in it, to live in it. How do we grow in it? How do we get strengthened in it? By those two scriptures, two things. Meditating on his word, letting his word speak to us, letting the revelation of God become the means, but our wisdom. Remember I said before, we cannot afford to have thoughts in our mind that are not from God. So the revelation of God is the one that changes the way we think, changes how we think. Remember, we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his Son. We have to think like this kingdom. This is how we do it. This is not new. We've gone over this before. We have to let the revelation of God become the main way we think and talk, think about life, think about everything. That God's thoughts become our thoughts. That his mind, it said in Corinthians, it says, his mind, we have the mind of Christ. We have to let his mind become our mind, to think his thoughts after him. That's what that says. The other one, Jeremiah, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Who trusts in the Lord. When there is a drought, when it looks barren all around us, as we trust in the Lord, we will still bear fruit. We will still, because the river in us still flows. It does not stop. It does not stop. So we continue to walk in the river and the river in us, so that it flows in us. Now, of course, the difficulty about this is that it's a partnership. God works with us. Can we just switch that off for a sec? Click onto something it's a partnership. He wants to live in us, but this cooperation has to happen. And sometimes we can be like someone just standing on the edge of the water. We don't want to jump in. We don't want to go any deeper. And the Lord's saying, come in deeper, come in deeper. He wants us to get further in. And there's reasons for that, and the river of the Holy Spirit said he can be quenched and he can be grieved. Now, I don't want to go into that too deeply, but that's just kind of guidelines about that's something that can happen with this river. So the river has to flow, but there are things that will stop the river flowing in us. You can dam up a river to prevent it from flowing. And there are things that we can get in our lives that will prevent us. Can we have the little picture? It's further down, the little picture thing. Now, this is slightly changing the metaphor, but it works. This is a just quick picture of the parable of the sower. Remember the parable of the sower? The man went out to sow seed, and the soil is the heart. The soil is our heart. And, of course, this is the one where the seed got eaten by the birds. This is the one where it was pretty shallow. This is the one where the thorns came up and choked the life, and this is the one where it grew to produce a great crop. I want to just have a look at this one, the ones with thorns, because it's interesting. It's very interesting what these thorns are. They are three things. They are the cares and anxieties of life. They are the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life. Now, each of those three things have in them things that are nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with the pleasures of this life. There isn't. There's nothing wrong with riches. Nothing wrong with it. And the cares or the anxieties, the things that we worry about of this life, of this existence here on earth, it's not the worldly thing. And the Bible has, in the New Testament, talks about the world as attitudes and thoughts. But in this scripture, it's a different word. Simply means this life here on this earth. That's all it means. The cares and worries. There are cares and worries. You think, I've got to have look after my children, got to do this, I've got to get, and I need money for doing this, and we worry about our kids, and we worry about other things. And the cares and worries, they are very real, and probably nothing that part of our human condition. So there's nothing kind of, in a sense, wrong with those things. But there's a danger with them. There's a danger with them. See, I like comfort. I really, really like comfort. The pleasures of this world. The delights of this world. A while ago, when Sabina and I were trying to figure out what God had to do, wanted for us, who's heard of Operation Mobilization? Okay, Operation Mobilization is a great ministry. They've got some ships that travel around the world. They take young people on board, train them up, and they visit all these places and take medical care, take books, send teams out evangelistic. And we were trying to wonder why we had our boys that are a bit younger than they are now, obviously. It was about five or six, seven years ago. And we were thinking we've got perhaps a two-year window when before our boys will be older, they'll be heading off and doing their own things. And we wanted to go and spend a couple of years out on a mission field doing something with them as a family, just to go off and do something. So the Doulos, which is one of the operation mobilization ships, came into Auckland. So we thought, oh, let's go and have a look at this. We actually did it for my birthday. What do you want to do, Dad? Oh, let's go and have a look at So we went and had a look at it. Not thinking, as the more we looked at this thing, suddenly we've got these people yakking to him. We're yakking to the first mate. We're yakking to all these people, talking about what we're doing. So we need this, da, da, da. And suddenly, if you know, when you get guidance, you've got this door seems to open, so you go through that one, this one seems to open. Suddenly, all these circumstances kept falling into place. And we're thinking, oh, because, you know, we're saying, God, where do you want us to go? And this Sunday, and we thought, maybe God wants us to do this. Work with some young adults, disciple them. That's what we've been doing for years before that. This fits us like a glove. So we kept pursuing this, and we were ready to go 2 years, spent with kids, take our family, do the thing, spend time on the do-loss. The funny thing is that closed, and they said, yeah, we'll take you. The only problem is we have family rooms, but they are set aside because they have to have an engineer. There's about three or four people they have to have on the ship, you know, qualified people. Engineer is one of them and a few other people. You know, you can't have a ship that sails the ocean with people who don't have a clue what they're doing. You've got to have qualified people. And so what happened is if the engineer, this is, we need an engineer, if they are a family person, they'll get that one. If they're not, it's yours. Of course, when they got the engineer, he was a family person, so the door just shut like that. We thought, you know, for 3 months we thought this is where we were going. I thought, what's going on? So anyway, so here's the interesting thing. As I decide, oh, well, and I'm sitting in my lounge of our house. We've got another one now. In our lovely house, it's sort of, you know, on a two-story. I'm looking out over our little suburban. I've got my lovely leather couch and I'm big windows out the front. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm enjoying this. This is nice. Got a good job. You know, I got 3 days earning a lot of money. I got, you know, because I'm a pharmacist, I was doing part-time pharmacy, 3 days a week, earning pots of money and all that kind of stuff. I thought, this is sweet. This is really good. Kick back. I think I'll just spend the rest of my life here. You know, I decided I was going to settle. I decided the full river, I will just make a camp at the edge of the river and I can dip my feet in when I want to. And I just settled in there. And that was it. And I was ready for the rest of my life. Didn't want to move. This was nice, thank you. I'm old enough. It's time for me to just settle down to the easy life. Stupid boy. I remember I had these little daily readings. Right? I can't for the life of me remember what they were. And then this daily reading was talking about something that Paul was saying in Acts. He was talking to the Ephesians. I think it was the Ephesians. And they were saying, please don't go. And he was saying, look, I'm ready to da-da-da. He said, my goal in life, I want to finish the course that God has given me to finish. I do not want to be distracted from that. If it means death or something, I don't care. I just want to complete the work that God has got for me. And I felt like the Lord say to me, Ian, I have put a call on your life. And you are... Hello, that took me by surprise. And that really took me by surprise. It was like an arrow to my heart. And I was in another room, I won't tell you where I was, but in reading this, and I went into the bedroom and I literally lay on my bed and I cried for 3 hours. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I have thrown you aside and settled for something less than what you have for me. You see, we can settle for less. We can settle for less if we want to, but we will not see the greater things of God that he has for us if we do that. Will not see it. The funny thing was we ended up, Bethel was where, no, within a very short weeks we were in Mozambique. Not short weeks, but next minute I'm off to Mozambique, not thinking. Now the difference here, there's a difference. Sabina said, if it's not this Lord, then what? But I said, oh, it's not that, so stuff it. I didn't use those words, but I didn't care. But my wife was praying, Lord, if it wasn't that, then it must be something else. Because she knew there was a call, she knew there was a prompting. So bless her heart. But oh, dunderbonts here. I don't know how long I was in that situation from there to the Lord speaking to me. And I thought, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'd rather walk where you want me to walk and choose my own path, even if I might just be a nice, easy life. I love comfort. I like comfort. But the Christian life is not primarily a call to comfort. Sometimes it's very, very uncomfortable being Christian. Sometimes he leads you into a situation you think, what the fat am I doing here? but you know in your heart this is where God wants you to be, and he wants you to persevere in it, to persevere, because he has greater things. You see, I think this is just a quick aside. I think we underestimate the quality of perseverance. So just had a friend just back in New Zealand. She's writing to me and she put on her blog, and she said the migraines have come back even worse than they've ever been. She would get a migraine just about every week. Every week there would be a migraine that she would have to, that would pretty much paralyze her for a day. And she said they're coming back with more frequency, and I've had prayer, we've been this, everything, they've done everything. She sort of, but it's coming up and getting, I'm getting 2 or 3 a week now. And she just was, but she... But she said in the midst of it, this, things like this, I know that the Lord fills me with such joy, fills me with such love. I love my life. I love my family. God's blessing. I'm doing, blah, 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 blah. In the ministry, she's the pastor's wife. She said, I still know his love. I still know his peace. I still know his joy in my heart. I don't understand it. And I still look for him every day, every day, every day, every day. And I just felt, you know what? We underestimate how important perseverance is, because her attitude in the midst of that pain and agony that she can't see a way out of, her attitude is still, Jesus is still number one for me. Jesus is still my life. I will not give up on him. I will hold him. And I said to her, I said, that attitude that you have, that faith and that love is more precious to him, to God, than for everyone, for others who've had everything go well for them. That's what he delights in. I said to her, your picture's on his mantelpiece. See, that's what God looks for, what's in here. He looks for gold that's in here. And out of that gold, life will flow. I don't know if or when she will get healed of that. But anyway, I just chuck that in there. We're called not to comfort, but to serve. The river is stopped and quenched. Basically, you can put into two things, a lack of love and a lack of faith, a lack of trust, because the kingdom works, Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith expressed through love. So the things that steal our love and steal our faith are our enemies. They are our enemies. And unbelief, God, and you know, things like, oh, God couldn't use me, you know, I'm just inferior, you know, we looked at that failure thing earlier today, oh, you know, if I do it, it's just going to stuff up, you know. And we get focused on us. And it actually has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the Lord. I am thankful that finally I've got to a point where even if I've had a lousy day, I can still come and I can say, Lord, I'm so glad that this is not about me. I'm so glad I don't have to rely on me to do the works of the kingdom, because I know you love me and I know you want to pour your grace through me. And that's where I go. That's my strength. That's where I go to. Even when I'm feeling miserable, even if I've had a lousy day and I feel like I've stuffed up, I know that. I know that now. I know, I know, I know. It takes me a while to get to that place, but I know that now. It's not about me. I don't have to be worried about how well... I mean, obviously I do, and I don't want to just be slack. But I know if I trip and fall, it is not the end of the world. Because it's not about me. It's not my life that's going to save anyone. It's not my power that's going to heal anyone. It's not my revelation that's going to bring a word of knowledge. It's his, not mine. Nothing to do with me. Just have to listen and trust. Cool, eh? Failure syndrome. Never heard of that in my life. I thought, you've got to be kidding. Failure syndrome. Never heard that. Oh, there actually is a thing called that. I'm going, oh my gosh. I nearly ditched it. You know, I mean, really that word just came in. I felt as we were praying earlier, I just felt we've got to pray for. And I said, Lord, because I got the others to say, yeah, I want you to get a word of knowledge. And failure syndrome, zit, straight through my mind. That's it. What's a failure syndrome? Never heard of that. Don't even think that's anything. That doesn't make the slightest bit of sense. But you see, not about me. It's not about me. Oh, I don't want to look stupid. I don't mind. You know, I'm happy to get up here and make a mistake. But you see, if you're scared of failure, if you're scared of making mistakes, which for me, hopefully for the most part, is not the big deal it used to be. Because there's two demons that attack us all the time. And it's attacked me. We'll get on this and go quickly. It's inferiority and insecurity. Who wrestles with inferiority, that sense of I'm less than everyone else, I'm not as good as, I'm not the same as, I'm blah, 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 blah. Or insecurity. I don't know quite how to describe insecure. I'm not insecure who I am. I'm not secure about life. I'm not secure. All those kind of things. I've struggled with those for years and years and years. Rooted back to a time when my mum said to me, kept saying to me, you are a silly little boy. You can imagine what that does. Is that one of the few, that's basically all I heard from my mother. Now, I know she loved me. She kept saying, not that I did silly things, but I was a silly little boy. So that left this huge inferiority, this huge insecurity. Even after becoming a Christian, used to interfere with ministry. I mean, I wanted the Lord. I wanted to see the glory of God. I'd say, Lord, I want to see what you do. But so I would do something. You know, do something to draw attention to myself. You know, if I got to speak, I would try and say something clever and smart just to show everyone that I was clever and smart. Didn't need to be said. Not important for the message, it was irrelevant. But I wanted the attention on me because I was insecure and felt inferior. Look at me, look at me. Hopefully I'm over that. I know I'm a lot more over it than I used to. It probably still rears its head. But you've got to, you know. But those two devils will quench the work of the Spirit in us. We need to get onto those ones. Lack of love, don't care, unforgiveness. Another one, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will dam up, will be a stone in the flow of the river of God. Because where there is bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness in our heart, love cannot flow. You cannot have unforgiveness and love flow in the same channel at the same time. Doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. Unforgiveness only stops the life of God in us, doesn't it? So if we've got unforgiveness and bitterness in our heart, we must root that out and deal with it. Bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I resent someone who did this to me a gazillion years ago and I hate them for it. Well, you've got to forgive them. Is this making sense? Yeah. Cannot afford to hold those things. Cannot afford it because it will dam up. And the only person who suffers from unforgiveness is the person who holds it. If I hold unforgiveness, it might make me feel better, maybe. Probably cause me cancer or any other, some other. It's not going to affect the person that we're feeling unforgiveness towards. Unless it's a family member, that happening. Sometimes families are the worst, you know, stupid brother, whatever. But we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. Anyway, just chucking these out. Just those things that dam the river up and that get in the way of trust and hearing His voice. That's what meditation on the revelation of God is, learning to hear His voice. In the end, that's what it's all about. Listening to the Word of God, listening to Jesus speak to us, because it's in His voice that life comes. My Word is Spirit and it is life. Grace, God, Jesus doesn't see us as we are, but who He has made us to be. It is not normal, just one more thing. It is not normal for a Spirit-filled believer to not hunger after the supernatural. It is not normal. If you are a Spirit-filled Christian and you're not hungering for the supernatural more and more, there's something wrong. You're abnormal. It is not normal to be filled with the Spirit and not hunger for the supernatural. See, we live in a world that's both material and spiritual. We see it, the natural and the supernatural. That's kind of how we see it. But God doesn't see it like that. It's all the same to Him. It's all the same to God. And we have to get the same perspective, that in every natural situation, there's the Spirit of God works. We have to walk in it and try and put that dichotomy aside and think, I walk supernaturally in this natural world because there's a supernatural environment around me. My existence came from a supernatural source. God spoke and life came. God spoke and He made something. I don't know if He made it out of His own essence or He just made it out of nothing. I have no idea. But it all comes from that supernatural source. And God wants to enable us and equip us to be the very best person that He has made us. All right, I'll leave deceitfulness to the riches, world, purses, and I'll let another day. We'll make that another day. All right, can we have that very last video up? Oh, have I left any scriptures out? I probably have left a ton out. Oh, okay. I've just chucked these in. Just another quick perspective. Two scriptures, John 6:9, Our Father in Heaven. You will notice, this is getting our perspective right, where we have to start. You look at these prayers, you see, give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts. See, this, give it for, our daily cares are not unimportant to the Lord. It is okay to have cares, and I don't think it's okay to have anxiety, but there are cares. There are the cares of this world that God cares about as well. They're not unimportant. You understand? Because we can say that, oh, I shouldn't be worried about that. Well, you know, sometimes we do. I think it's kind of okay as long as that worry doesn't dominate our life. God says, give us this day our daily bread. Can we just go back? Next one? It will be 6:33. See, that was the question, the big passage. Watch the birds of the air and all that kind of stuff. They don't have to worry about whether they're just going to eat the food. Da, da, da. God provides for them. And then Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious. That's the order in the kingdom. We start with the king, and his river flows into everything, and he cares about everything. He cares about what we care for. He loves what we love. Well, no, he doesn't. Yes, he does. We just have to get the order right. In the prayer, the Lord's prayer does not start with, Lord, give me my daily bread. It says, my Father. It starts with connection. It starts with being connected to the source of life and love and power and peace. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the king. Start with the king. Everything will flow from the king. He cares about those things. He says, I'll go back to the Lord's Prayer. He says, okay, pray for your daily needs. I do. I've got my wish list. I pray a lot for. You know, I start with him. I want to spend time with him, pray, but I have my wish list. I haven't got it here. I could show you. It's pinned up on my wall. I have a wish list that I pray for. Why do I pray for that? Because I'm his son. He's my dad. Dads like to give good things to their kids. He likes me. Sorry, you might not like me, but I know my father does. In fact, he loves me. And I know he wants to give, so I ask for these things. I'm not ashamed of that. But my first priority is his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. And the interesting thing is, as you make that your goal and pursue things, I'm finding as I pray regularly and every day for these things, the more I get caught up in his kingdom, that I thought, oh my gosh, I forgot to pray for whatever. You will get caught up in his kingdom if you make it the priority. And then the river flows. See, these things are the things that take us deeper and deeper and deeper into the river. And the power and the peace and the love flows through us. All right. What one's that one? Oh, yeah, can we... Don't shuffle along. Eyes to the ground. This is Colossians 3:1-2. It's a Message translation. Love it. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. It's the Message Bible of that. Isn't it great? That just puts it really, really right. All right. You like that? That is a picture of us. We are called to carry a river into a barren world. Wherever the river goes, there is... Remember the picture at the beginning of the Nile River? All that greenery around the river. You and I, that's our call. That's our mission. It's what we are designed to do. Well, no, we're designed to be sons and daughters of the King, to walk in fellowship with him. Out of that relationship, we are also, our mission, our assignment, is to be the carriers of that river into a barren world, a dry world. For all they say, we've got all this, it's dry. And God wants his life poured through us to go into the world around us. That's our call for all of us. None of us are exempt from it. It's for all of us we're called to take his life, which contains power to heal, which contains his revelation to speak life and to bring words of knowledge and prophetic. I want to encourage you all to take risks. Have a crack at it with people. We'll start here and have a crack. That, and to take his love. The world is desperate for some real love. For love, 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 love. That's his kingdom. When Jesus, when we stand before the Lord, I think the question he's going to ask me is, how well did you obey this law or that law? He's not going to ask that. He's going to say, Ian, how well did you love, Ian? How well did you love? I don't know how many of you are going to score great marks, so I don't think I'm going to do that well, personally. I'm very prone to selfishness. Very prone. I have to work on it. There are some people that don't love easily. But that, I think that's the question he's going to ask. How well did you love? But we have the source of all the love units flying in us. All right, that's who we are, that picture, barren world. Carry that river into the world. Where the river flows, there is life. Amen? Right,
It's okay. Hi, I wasn't going to say anything until the Lord's Prayer came up. Just a couple of things that I got spoken to about this week. So these are relevant to me. But I share this in case it's relevant to you as well. In the Lord's Prayer, as Ian said, it comes down from addressing the King. And then it's all about his kingdom. And the things that he wants, not the things that I want. But after those verses, it goes on to talk about who is it that asks the Father for a fish? And he gives him a stone. You know, your Father knows the things that you need and the things that he wants to give you. And I just have a sense this morning that for some of us, we've been disappointed in our prayers. Maybe we're asking for the wrong things. But we kind of have an expectancy that actually might be getting a stone. But the scripture says, your Father knows what he wants to give. And he gives good gifts to his children. So I would encourage you in your prayers over the things that maybe have been spoken about this morning to be saying, Father, you know, you've given me an identity, but help me to put your kingdom first and help me to ask for the right things and expect that when I'm going to step forward that you're giving me what I need for that situation. The other thing is something which came out very quickly from the end of the newsletter that we have in our congregation in Maidenhead. It was just a pause for thought. And again, it just kind of spoke to me in a small way. But again, I just, you know, I don't care what age you are. I think this is relevant. You know, I had my 60th just recently, so I'm not a youngster anymore. But this is the pause for thought. If I can read it. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to become something I'm not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given to me at birth by God. It's a strange gift, this birthright of self. Accepting it turns out to be even more demanding than attempting to become someone else. I've sometimes responded to that demand by ignoring the gift, or hiding it, or fleeing from it, or squandering it, and I think I'm not alone. There is a Hasidic tale that reveals with amazing brevity both the universal tendency to want to become someone else and the ultimate importance of becoming oneself. Rabbi Zusia, when he was an old man, said, "In the coming world they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zusia?"
So why don't we pray? Ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, we bless you, we bless you, bless you. Thank you that your river, the river of your life, is there for us to drink from. As Jesus said, he who believes in me, that he who comes to me and drinks will be filled with life. All we've got to do is drink. Thank you, Lord, that that river flows to us because of Jesus' death and resurrection. That river flows to us unhindered. Nothing can hold it back. Nothing can hold it back except our unwillingness to drink from it. So, Lord, equip us, enable us, fill us
Let us be like that, like that river in this in the desert that flowed in, so that wherever we go and wherever we allow your river to flow through us, there will be life that will come from it. Life for those around us. Life that will bring freedom, will bring joy, will bring love to others. And Jesus gets all the glory. Amen. So don't forget to look on the face of Christ, live like heaven is near, love everyone we meet.